Good?
Good?
Excellent, thank you.
Good evening. My name is Mark Laredo, Councilor at Large from Ward 7. I chair the Land Use Committee. I'm going to take a moment to introduce my colleagues. We have a number of members, city departments here. I'm going to take another minute or two to go over our schedule and protocol for the evening, and then we're going to get right to work. So to my immediate left is Councilor Jim Cote, Councilor at Large from Ward 3 and a member of the committee. Next to him is Councilor Deb Crosley, Councilor at Large from Ward 5 and a member of the committee. Next to her is Councilor Ruth Ann Fuller, my colleague from Ward 7, not a member of the committee. And to my immediate right is Councilor Jake Auchincloss, a Councilor at Large from Ward 2 and a member of the committee. I do expect to have, I believe, three other members of the committee are on their way. I know that Councilor Harney is not here this evening. He's Councilor, Ward Councilor from Ward 4. He has a child getting married, I believe, in New Zealand, if I'm not mistaken, and so he is understandably absent. We have staff members here from the Planning Department, Michael Gleba, and Alexandra Nance, from the Legal Department, Robert Roddick, our committee clerk, Nadia Khan, and we have our directors of planning and Commissioner of Inspectional Services, Barney Keith and John Lojek, who are sitting in the galley. So our agenda for this evening is, the first item on the agenda is a consistency ruling, but I'm going to wait on that item for a few minutes till I get some of my other colleagues here. And instead, we're going to move on to the three special permits that we have before us. Let me just advise you of a few things. One, we are being audiotaped. You need to know that. Two, when you come up for a special permit petition presentation, please come to the podium, state your name and address, and briefly summarize what your petition is about. If your petition is relatively straightforward, and I believe at least a couple of the ones we have this evening are, we do our homework on this committee. We get plans on Friday afternoon. We get memoranda from the planning department. We get a whole package of information that we do our work and study before you come here. Many of us, if we're not familiar with a particular site and feel the need to do so, we'll actually drive by the site to visualize it. That often helps us a great deal. My point is, come before us, please provide the pertinent information, and then we will. You'll get questions from the counselors if they have any. The planning department will offer its commentary, and then I'm going to open it up to public comment. Any member of the public is welcome to speak. The rules are very simple. You come to the podium, you state your name, you state your address, and you please keep your remarks to about 3 minutes or less. Finally, we on the consistency ruling that we have before us, I am not going to take public comments, and let me explain why. A consistency ruling is when the Commissioner of Inspectional Services comes to us as the Land Use Committee and says, I have a special permit. The petitioner or applicant is looking to do something that deviates in some manner or degree from what you ordered. Give me some advice and guidance as to whether what they're proposing to do is consistent or not consistent with the special permit. So that is an advisory role. It is not something that we advertise the public hearing. It's not something that we take public comment on. Rather, it's the committee having granted a special permit, which is giving advice and guidance to our Commissioner of Inspectional Services. Finally this evening, when we're done with the consistency ruling and the special permit, we are going to take up a matter that I actually think is quite important and that I envision to be the first of a series of discussions about how we can improve the special permit process and what we can do after special permits are granted to work with inspectional services to make sure that the special permits are enforced in a manner that's fair and appropriate and consistent with what we've put in the special permit. So for those of you who are interested in our process more generally, I'd urge you to stick around for that. I think it's going to be a very interesting discussion, and as I said, the beginning of what I hope is a more energetic discussion on the topic. Two other colleagues have joined us, Counselor at Large from Ward 1 and President of the City Council, Scott Lennon, and Counselor at Large from Ward 6 and Vice Chair of the Committee, Greg Schwartz. Counselor, did you see a Counselor Lipoff out there? Is he out there? If he is, I'll get to the consistency ruling. If not, I'm going to skip over that for a moment. You know, I don't see him. Why don't we do this? Why don't we start the first petition so we don't take any time unduly. 260-16, this is a special permit petition or sheet FAR at 11 Scarsdale Road. CD and Ed Ohava, excuse me, in Ward 2. Are the petitioners here for that petition, 11 Scarsdale? Come on up, please. Good evening. Is the mic on? No, we need you on the mic, so if you would.
Okay. Good evening. I'm Ed Ohava. This is my wife, Phoebe. We are at 11 Scarsdale in Ward 2, and we're here tonight to request a special permit. We love our neighborhood. We love our house. We love everything about where we live, but as our family has grown up, we found that we want to make changes, modifications, updates to the house. And we've been working with our architect, Alan Mayer, who will speak next, for several years, actually looking at a number of different plans. And at the end of the day, in order to incorporate the features that we wanted, namely an extended family room, to kind of fit all the children and friends of children, as well as connect the garage to the back of the house, we will go above our FAR from to a level of 0.43. And so we look at several options, including moving from our house, but we like the neighborhood so much and where we live, so we decided to go ahead with this special permit process. At this point, I'll turn it over to Alan, who will get in more technical details. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Good evening. My name is Alan Mayer. I'm the architect for Phoebe and Ed, and I live at 479 Walnut Street right here in Newton. And I think you all have the package, and I will keep it brief, but essentially what we attempted to do is to minimize the impact of the addition, you know, on the neighbors, on the front. There's really nothing visible from the street. And we've also, I just wanted to point out that we've reached out to the neighbors. We've gotten letters from the abutters, and in particular from the backyard abutter in support of this, renovation and addition. Honestly, the planning department memos sort of sums it up best.
It often does. Thank you. Planning, do you want to, who's going to present this? Ms. Anand?
Maybe I'll just keep it brief. And so the request is to exceed the FAR. The standard finding the council needs to make is that the house will remain consistent with and not in derogation of the size, scale, and design of other structures in the neighborhood. Here is the existing house with the proposed additions at the rear, including a new deck. And that's pretty much it for the presentation.
Good, thank you. Colleagues, questions for the petitioner or planning department? All right. Seeing none, is there any member of the public who wishes to speak on this petition? All right, I see none. This is in Ward 2. Do I have a motion to close the public hearing? Moved by Councilor Auchincloss. All in favor of closing the public hearing? Councilor Lennon, six in favor, none opposed. Public hearing is closed. Do I have a motion approved? All right. And Ms. Anand, the draft board order?
Sure. There was a draft order that was attached to the memo. There's one finding that the increase is consistent with a non-derogation of the size, scale, and design of other structures in the neighborhood. The lot is a little bit undersized for the neighborhood, and the proposed new structure meets all other dimensional regulations.
Questions on the findings, anyone? All right, seeing none, is there anything in the conditions that's different?
Just the standard conditions, nothing special.
All right, good. Okay, we have a motion by Councilor Auchincloss. Any discussion on the proposed board order? All right, seeing Councilor Schwartz.
Sorry, just to comment that it's a small, undersized lot. So how does this compare with other lots in the area?
We can go back to the aerial. It's a little bit smaller than the average neighborhood lot size. I do not remember the neighborhood average off the top of my head.
Could we go to the findings then? Maybe want to just modify the language.
Make sure
that
the findings is accurate.
Yeah.
Do we need to make that finding that it's undersized to make this kosher?
I think we ought to take out.
We don't have to keep it in there. We can simply move to the second portion of that sentence. The proposed new structure meets all dimensional controls, with the exception of FAR.
I think we should make sense to combine them. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, I just want to be clear on what our reasoning is. So if our reasoning is based on that, I just want to make sure it was true. And if it's not, and we have other reasons, which is just that it's not in derogation more generally, then
I think if we don't have, and it's fine, this is one I'd call obviously a fairly routine petition, but if you haven't gone out and actually measured or taken accurate assessments of the other lots, I think we want to be careful about the language.
Oh, I'm sure we did do sort of a neighborhood analysis.
So you think this
is less than the average lot size.
Okay. All right, then you want to use that language, would that be better?
Sure.
Okay. Does that meet your concerns?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because otherwise, it's not non-conforming, right? I mean, the lot size is adequate in this SR.
So I think 10,000 square feet is typically required where this has 8,400 square feet. So it is a legal non-conforming lot.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Everyone good with this? All right. We have a motion by Councilor Auchincloss. All in favor of approval? 6 in favor, none opposed. This will go to the full City Council in September. There will be no need for you to appear at that time. I can't guarantee anything, but I expect it will be approved, I hope, routinely, and then you'll be able to get going on your project. All right? Best of luck. Thank you very much. I'm going to take up one other special permit before I go to the consistency ruling. This is 259-16. A special permit petition to increase non-conforming rear setback at 6 Glastonbury Oval, Lisa and Andrew Silverman. This is in Ward 5. And Robin, are the petitioners here this evening? Come on up, please. Good evening.
Good evening, I'm Lisa Silverman.
And I'm Andy Silverman. We live at 6 Glastonbury Oval. Thanks for making some time to let us speak tonight. We're very happy to be residents in Glastonbury Oval. It's a pretty unique place within Waubun. There's a certain aesthetic to our little neck of the woods, and in contemplating any changes, it was important to us to maintain the integrity of the feel of the oval, but also balance that with taking a few modifications to our home that would allow us to stay in it and make it a comfortable place for our growing family. And those changes that we'd ask you to approve include really just allowing us to kind of build up above a playroom that would allow us to add a bedroom and providing for a mud room. So rather modest changes, but changes that will significantly increase the livability and usability of our home and allow us to stay in it for the foreseeable future. And that's important to us because it's a great community. We're excited about the future opening of Zervas. Our kids are friends in the area, and it would be a fantastic outcome for us to be able to stay there.
Great,
thank you.
Thank you. Anything else you want to add? Is there anybody else who's going to speak to? Just two on this evening. Good evening.
Yes, one in a, and I thank whoever planned this for.
I'm not sure we did it deliberately, but we'll try to work on that in the future.
Yes,
so
we'll work on that one.
Right.
It could be a suggestion for the special permit process. So I just wanted to point out that in this case, we're not going over the FAR. The issue here is it's a pre-existing non-conforming because it's over the rear yard setback, and we are continuing that. The house is designed so that from Beacon Street it looks like just another house on Beacon Street. If it had the front door on Beacon Street, there would be enough of a backyard on the opposite side of Beacon Street, but because the entrance is actually on Glastonbury Oval, the backyard is what looks like a side yard and therefore is, so it's one of these things where technically it's the backyard, but it's really the side yard. We meet the side yard setback requirements. Again, I hope it's as quick a discussion as last. Thank you.
Good, thank you. Who has this one, Mr. Gruber?
I do.
Ma'am, I'm going to take you in just a minute if you'd take a seat. Mr. Gruber is going to speak, and then make sure you have an opportunity to speak, ma'am.
Okay, so as was mentioned, this is a special permit to further increase a non-conforming rear setback. When we do this kind of request, the council needs to consider whether the proposed extension, which will decrease the rear setback from 7.9 feet to 7.1, or 15 feet is the minimum for a year, will not be substantially more detrimental to the existing non-conforming structure to the neighborhood. Whether this is an appropriate site for these additions, whether the additions will adversely affect the neighborhood, whether there will be nuisance or hazard to vehicles or pedestrians, whether access to the site is appropriate to the extension type and numbers of the vehicles. Here, the background is an AO map. The site is in center in yellow. Right to the left of Glastonbury Oval. Similar to zoning, it is a solidly single residential team neighborhood. This is about every lot in the east of us, except for the school to the east, as it stands on the land use map. The site plan is different and proposed. To the left, it is existing. You can see where the existing non-conformity is, which is 7.9. Some real hard to tell because the building angle is not in different colors. So the two additions, one would add a second story to an existing kind of bump out on the first floor, which in the top picture is to the right. And the other addition would be a two-story addition more towards the center of the structure, and that is shown in the bottom rendering as well. That's the rear elevation. This one from the north, where you can see the slight impact the second floor addition has on the elevation, that is on the right. This is the south elevation, which you can see the two-story addition somewhere there on the right hand of the right-hand rendering. This is the location of the first. The two-story addition would be closer to the where the photo was taken over the smaller civilized structures, and the one story different area from the second floor would be behind that. Here's just another view. Any questions?
Thank you. So why don't I take public comment and then I'll take any questions from my colleagues. Ma'am, did you want to come up and speak?
My name is Peter Doa. I am a abductor and I am...
Where do you live, ma'am? What's your address?
Please?
Your address, ma'am.
1402 Beacon Street.
Go ahead, please.
And I am not directly affected by this plan, but actually I am concerned my neighbor, Beacon Street, 1392. I mean, the two houses are so close to each other. The proposed plan by the Silvermans does not give any privacy to the people on 1392. And the building is already non-conforming, so our other addition just adds to the problem. As I said, I am not so much speaking for myself because I am really not affected. I am on the opposite side, but I don't think so it is fair to the neighbors.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak on this petition?
Good evening. Hi. Yeah, my name is Jane Farms, and I live at 12 Glastonbury Oval, and I'm here to express my full support for this project. I'm next-door neighbors, so I'm an address abutter of Lisa and Andy's, and my house is the house that will be most affected by this addition, and I think that they've done a fabulous job of designing this addition so that it fits in with the neighborhood. If you've ever been to Glastonbury Oval, you know that all of the houses were built in the same era in the 20s, and they're all of the same sort of design. And so when one of the neighbors makes an addition, we're quite careful about what it looks like on the outside, the exterior. And this one really fits in very nicely with the other houses in the neighborhood. So we fully support this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on up, please.
Thank you. And I just wanted to mention that, so there is a house that's behind, I guess, where our house is. And the family that lives there is in support of this project. They emailed, I believe, Neil Cronin today and voiced their support of the project.
We did get a number of emails on this project, and they're all part of the public record, and they were circulated to councilors in advance of the meeting. Councilor Schwartz.
I don't have to go now. I just, when we're done with public comment.
Is there anybody, other member of the public, who wishes to be heard on this petition? All right. Seeing none, do I have a motion to close the public hearing? Councilor Crosley. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 6 in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Do you want to ask a question first before I take up a motion? Okay. Do I have a motion on this petition?
Yes. I'm sorry. I thought we would have a conversation, but that's okay.
We can have a conversation if people have any questions.
I'm happy to move approval. I would like to have something to say, but I'll go after Greg.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we take up our conversation, and then we'll accept the motion. So you want to start, Councilor Schwartz, and then I'll go to you, Councilor Crosby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess just the last, we've talked a lot about this in the past. I just wanted to reiterate that what I'm trying to do on this particular petition, as I do with all of them, is, and as I think we all do, is think about how it fits with the neighborhood derogation, the standard, not whether there's a plebiscite in the neighborhood, who likes it, who doesn't. So I just wanted to put that out there so that the public understands that when we're discussing these petitions, we're open and we're thankful for the identification of issues in the neighborhood that the neighbors know about because they live there, but we're not choosing sides in that manner. So just to kind of put that out there, so that's the background, the context for our discussion in front of the public here. So I guess my question on this particular petition, having heard some of the comments, is how significant a change is this? And I guess for planning, my question is, did you guys consider the privacy issues that have been raised as far as this being a second floor with some windows facing a nearby structure? And do you know what the distance is between the two structures?
So we do consider the privacy issue, and it's considering the rather dense vegetation between two properties, which I've got addressed. This would be about 7 feet from the property line. Now, the need to house at 1392, even with the vegetation of the people who live there. I believe that house is about 10 feet roughly off the property line.
So about 17 feet.
About that. Mm-hmm.
And how tall is the addition going to be? At what?
I believe it's at the peak of the higher one. I believe it's about 24 feet.
Well within the standard.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I had.
And just as a note, is it correct, as the petitioner's architect stated, that were the entrance to this property on Beacon Street rather than Glastonbury, we wouldn't be having a setback issue?
I don't think that's the case. I don't have that in front of me right now since I just analyzed it every year. But sounds correct.
Councilor Crosley?
thank you. So I will move approval of this project. To me, it's a very modest set of additions to this house. It is an unusual siding of a house where you have a corner lot. You have to deal with corner lot issues where you have technically two front yards, one rear yard and one side yard, and then you decide, okay, which is the rear yard, which is the side yard. But technically, you're required to have two rear yard setbacks opposite two front yards. And the area is heavily vegetated, very large mature trees, so that doesn't concern me. But I want to commend the presentation of documents here, because they're just so crystal clear, it's easy to see, and for the benefit of the neighbor who is concerned about the massing of the structure in the back and the proximity to the next house. The proposed additions are shown dotted over the existing building, and they're very, very much smaller than the main portion of the house. And in fact, the architect has used a hipped roof and so forth to keep them even lower. And when you talk about impacts on adjacent properties, this elevation faces east, and so it's not casting shadows on anybody's yard or looming really over any other structures. I would consider this the rear of the property in terms of that it's obscured from view from most everyone, and the additions to be very modest. And if it's the appropriate time, I would move approval. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions by my colleagues? I see none. Councilor Crosley, do you want to move approval? All right. Do we have a draft board order, Mr. Gleba?
We do. So the proposed findings, the extensions, so everything that you mentioned, you can basically say that taken together, that the two additions will not be substantially more detrimental to the existing structure. But the additions will add only 308 square feet of floor area with a modest proportion and minimally visible to any public way on living properties due to the location and also for dark screens that ensure the vegetation.
So the word modestly proportioned, I wonder if we can revise that or take that out. It's just, I think we've been striving, colleagues, in our orders to try to craft language that's more factual rather than descriptive. Someone has some suggestions here, or take it out? You know, I know, Councillor Crosley, you had some commentary about the roof and the design.
Sure.
Yeah. Why don't we say subordinate to the main structure? Is that an appropriate way of describing it?
Lower and smaller and blind in every way.
Those kinds of words which to somebody who went out and looked at the structure could say, okay, I get it.
And probably not only. I'd just say 306 square feet.
Yep. Take out the word only as well. Okay. Anything else from the findings, folks? I see none. Any conditions that are unusual here? Oh, I'm sorry.
This finding is held to be again with the basic restrictions in the neighborhood. This has to do with the size.
I think that's fine.
Okay.
All right.
So then the conditions are all standard.
Okay. All right. We have a motion by Councillor Crosley. All in favor of approval? 6 in favor, none opposed. This matter also will be taken up at the first board meeting in September. Again, there's no need for you to appear. Thank you very much. Best of luck with this project. All right, we are going to go back in order to the consistency ruling. Then we're going to move on to the Dungarens petition, and then we're going to move on to our discussion. So who's presenting on the modern bar consistency ruling?
So what I did is just note some of the existing special permits and conditions. There have been 3 special permits that were approved on this site, one in 2012, one in 2013, and then the most recent one in 2016. The most recent one has not yet been exercised. But the pertinent conditions from 12 is to allow office and retail at the site and no more than 2 tenants, and it sets the hours from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. So, sorry, that prohibits retail from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. The next one in 2013 allowed a massage therapy use or other similar low parking demand turnover service businesses. All the other conditions were carried forward. An additional condition was put in that no more than 3 customers and 3 staff for the service use be allowed on the site at any one time. And that still be 15 minutes between appointments so that there wouldn't be customers arriving when customers were already there. Since then, Modern Bar has gone in to the site and was part of the petition from last year, which was to reconfigure the parking area. And they sought to amend the operational controls to allow up to 11 customers at one time and for some different hours of operations. The other conditions were carried forward. Some new conditions were added, including that the site improvements for the parking area be completed by this July. And then specific to the fitness studio, there were some additional conditions, no more than 30 classes a week. 2 mornings, they allowed classes as early as 6:15 a.m., but not on the other days. And there was also an additional condition to put in for the other tenants that they not have more than 4 people at the site at one time, effectively capping the number of people that would be on the site between the 2 spaces at one time. So currently, the petitioner is requesting a consistency ruling to allow up to 6 people in the studio at one time, and also to broaden her business base and allow similar low parking turnover personal service uses that would complement her fitness studio use. So she's basically giving up the condition that would allow her to have up to 11 and is agreeing to operate more consistently with the old special permit from 2013, which was exercised, that set the maximum at 3 customers and 3 staff.
Well, let's be clear about something. They're not agreeing to do anything. They're choosing not to exercise a special permit that this council granted. So what they're now saying is we're not exercising the permit, but we want to run our business in a different manner, and we think it's consistent with the prior special permit. You, City Council, Land Use Committee, have to advise the Commissioner of Inspectional Services whether we agree with it or not. Is that framing the issue?
That's correct, yeah. So the owner of the property is not the owner of the use here. So the owner of the property chose not to exercise the special permit, and the tenant is now seeking to stay in the space.
Does planning have any opinion on this? And if you don't, that's fine. That's what we're here for. If you have an opinion, you want to hear it, but if you don't, that's fine.
My opinion is that the committee allowed in 2012 6 people on site at this in this one use, and if she's proposing to be consistent with that, it's consistent with that condition. So my opinion would be to allow for it. I think you would still want to get the improvements. And you probably want to find out a little bit about
how can we get the improvements if there's no board order in that regard?
It's my understanding that that's true.
There's no board order. I mean, that's the dilemma we face. They're going back to an old special permit and saying, allow us to use it as is.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
And then finally, I would just say that you might want to further understand what other type of businesses might be occurring at the site.
All right. All right, thank you very much. Colleagues, Councilor Crosby.
Thank you. I'd be interested in understanding very clearly what the other kinds of personal services are that are being proposed. Because having 6 people there, you know, whether they're instructors or students, is 6 people. But what are the other complimentary personal services that are being requested? What does that mean?
We're going to hear on that. I will offer an opinion that I think it's different to have 3 employees who stay there all day and 3 customers come and go versus 5 customers who come and go all the time and 1 employee. In my mind, they're different, but not everyone can agree with that. But let me before I get to you, Councillor Lennon, do we have some answer on that, Ms. Anand?
I think we need to hear from the petitioner.
Attorney Morris?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Terry Morris. I am the counsel to the petitioner or the requester in this petition. First of all, the other service uses would be personal training. I want to correct one thing that was said, Mr. Chairman, about having employees on a massage practice come and be there all day. It's standard practice in that industry that people who perform massages do not work more than 4 hours straight because of the nature of the business. So there would be more turnover than I think you've suggested, that's all.
Not the same as turnover of customers hour by hour, Mr. Turnover.
That's true, but not 4 people all day.
So your additional service here is some kind of personal training?
Correct.
And again, what does that entail? 1 employee, 3 employees, 1 employee and 5 customers? What's the concept?
This concept? 1 employee. And anywhere from 1 to 5 customers.
And that would be in addition to what the Modern Bar Studio is currently doing.
That is correct.
And no limits on the number of hours they'd be used, correct?
That is correct, because as you know, it's an intermittent business right now. It's only open less than 40% of the time.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Councilor President Lennon, did you want to ask a question?
I just wanted to understand legally what we're doing. And I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. What I mean by that is, you know, to me, this is more so, you know, looking at what the current request is. It is an amendment of the previous permit. I understand we're trying to act consistently with the previously granted permit, but we've got two requests here, and my concern is why I voted for the permit because I thought we worked really hard and really long on a number of conditions. Like, we didn't get everybody to yes, but we kind of met in the middle here, and now I'm afraid all those go away. So,
what's happened here and why we're in this dilemma is that the petitioner and the landlord and the tenant said we're not exercising this new permit. So now we have an old permit, which is still valid. Old permit exists. And we are being asked by the tenant to provide guidance to inspectional services that their now proposed use is consistent with the board orders that we entered into in 2013. That's the question that's being posed.
I understand that, but I didn't know if there was, you know, what's the threshold of the consistency ruling in terms of, you know, we have an additional request here now. That's the way I'm reading it. Maybe I'm not reading it the right way, but also it's the, what I guess, I thought I heard someone here say, but maybe not, the elimination now of those conditions that we worked on for quite a long time.
Well, they'll have to be gone because that new special permit is not going to be exercised. So all that work we did,
I guess maybe I'm just not asking it the right way. Why couldn't this be done as an amendment to a special permit, that permit, and come in and try to work with some of those conditions and get that done?
My personal view,
if this has all been talked about, forgive me.
It hasn't been, and I'll add my personal view to that, Councilor Lennon, that's exactly right. To me, this is no more than a request to change a previously existing special permit. Someone's free to come in and do that, but that's not what's being asked here. So we have to decide whether they would need to go through that process or not. And that's something that we're going to have a discussion about. Councilor Auchincloss, do you want to add something here?
No, I think now I have more to think about, so I'm not going to ask my question.
Sorry, okay. I will convey, let me just get to you in a moment, Councilor Fuller. I will convey to you that two of our colleagues who are not here, Councilor Harney sent an email to members of the committee indicating he had some very grave, serious concerns about granting a consistency ruling here. And Councilor Baker, who's also out of town, indicated to both Councilor, I think to Councilor Fuller, but certainly to me, that he also had some concerns about granting consistency ruling here. Councilor Fuller.
Perhaps this is a question for Bob Waddick, but the second request there, now that I've heard the clarification from the petitioner's attorney, still doesn't make sense to me because the description there was to do, fitness training. Maybe it's one employee with one or two, or up to five customers, which doesn't seem at all different from the first one. So I don't know why there's the second bullet point there. And wouldn't we just be talking about the first one and skip the second one? Or maybe that's back to Mr. Morris, but I didn't see how the second point was any different from the first. And if anything, it's confusing and unclear and vague. So I'd love to get rid of that and just talk about the first point and see if we think that's consistent or not. But am I, as a layperson, did I hear that right?
Well, I think the determination is the same for each one. The first one is obviously easier because there's a number of three and three, and you're looking at getting to six. The second one, the question is that consistent with something that's already in the existing special permit? And that's probably a tougher question, but That is the question, and that's the question before you on the second one.
As I read the order, it says we found that allowing a massage therapy use a similar low parking demand turnover service business at this location was not substantially more detrimental. And then it was to be used for a massage therapy business as allowed non-conforming use. That's what the board order says. And the question then is, are they asking for something different than is in the board order? Second one. First one, leaving the first one aside, I think we can agree on that. The second one, is it different or not? Because really they're now saying they want to operate two businesses at this location. One, am I hearing that right, or is this different now? Trey Morris.
I don't think there will be two businesses, Mr. Chairman. The personal training, which is typically one-on-one, would be under the auspices of Ms. Williamson.
I guess I'm at a loss. Is she running a personal one-on-one training business there, or is she running classes there? Which is it?
She's basically running a business that deals with people who are trying to improve their self-image by whatever means, whether it's exercise or whether it's personal training. I mean, she offers, under now, she offers a wide range of services within that rubric of modern bot.
If she has a personal trainer and one individual there, what's the difference between that and a massage therapy or similar low turnover, low use business?
I don't see the difference, quite frankly.
Right. So you're just trying to get clarity that if she offers physical, personal training services, you want clarity that will be considered consistent.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just want to clarify, the tenant did not refuse to exercise this permit.
We fully understand that. Mm-hmm. All right. Councilor Cody?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So going back to what President Leonard had mentioned, too, we spent a lot of time on this particular item for a number of months, and I thought we hashed out a good plan, getting everybody to agree to certain numbers, certain times and everything. So when I look at the consistency thing in the numbers, so our intent of that order, which actually is probably not the one we're looking at for consistency, would be that this reduced number fits well underneath the threshold that we were looking at when we made the agreement. So what my concern is, so from Attorney Wagg's perspective maybe, is the next tenant that comes in, would they have to reapply to use the facility, or just go to the landlord? Like, is this an authorization that the landlord gets to use this?
The landlord's going to get the benefit of whatever consistency ruling we make, which if what Attorney Morris is requesting is approved, means that I would think that six people, no matter what, at any one time is consistent.
So
that's really what he's suggesting.
So from my perspective, I don't have an issue with Modern Bar doing what they're requesting in this consistency ruling. And if that's the guidance that the landlord has, in other words, basically the same thing, going back to the original permit, then I still find that to be okay in my perspective on that.
Colleagues, others want to weigh in? Councilor Auchincloss and Fuller.
I actually don't have a comment, but more of a question for my colleagues, which is, are we concerned about the precedent of a one-to-one trade-off between employee and customer parking spaces? We're basically saying that we're okay with taking two spaces and basically saying they're equivalent when we know that they're not, to Councilor Rado's point and to Councilor Harney's point in his email. Is that going to bleed over into other instances?
In my response to that, in my mind, it does. I mean, I think we crafted a board order, and petitioners are welcome to come any time they want and seek relief from our board orders. But when we say a number of employees and a number of customers, there are very different considerations in my mind, notwithstanding Attorney Morris's statement that, you know, massage folks may come in or every 4 hours. I have no idea if that's accurate or not. But certainly, if I'm looking at an employee, there's employee parking. They go to that parking space. They leave that parking space. And there's three customers who are now on Commonwealth Avenue or elsewhere. Now we're saying there's going to be one employee in the parking space and five customers in Commonwealth Avenue. Not a lot in the grand scheme of things, but in my mind, we craft board orders for a reason, and we're being asked to create a new order. That's my view.
Councilor Fuller.
So again, I think we have to ask the lawyer on this one. If you're being asked for a consistency ruling, it strikes me that this request is not consistent with the old board order. Jim is right, though, that the idea of it makes a lot of sense given all the work we did before, because that type of turnover may be appropriate, but given some conditions that we had worked through that are not going to be put into place. So, I'm not on land use, but I would have thought that if it's narrowly a consistent ruling, unfortunately you have to vote no, but the idea that they could come in and ask for a variation on the board order to allow that, so that substantively the committee can say how we feel about the 1-5 ratio, and is that appropriate, and are there any thing we would require the landlord to do in that circumstance to make it palatable for the neighbors, strikes me as a different request, but that's not what's, unfortunately, it's not what's before us tonight, if I'm understanding this correctly.
Well, we go to Councilor Auchincloss and then Councilor Schwartz. Go ahead.
I agree with Councilor Fuller's chain of thought there. If we were going to do that, couldn't we take the, instead of amending this one, couldn't we amend it so much so as to look like the one that we passed in January, absent a couple of the points that the owner found difficult? I know that's been a request of Mr. McIntyre in the audience, and I wonder if is that an option?
No. The short answer is if somebody wants to come in and ask for a new special permit, they have to file a request for a new special permit. We can't amend special permits we've granted. We can't amend it without some action from some petitioner seeking an amendment.
Right, no, yeah. If they request it, though, we could amend it.
We can amend anything if somebody makes a request to amend. Now, I don't know if they filed for a special permit but not exercised, there's any prohibition on coming back within a time period or not. I'd ask legal to look at that, but I don't know offhand.
That seems to me like the course of action here is that they come back for an amendment and we tweak the one that we worked so hard on in January.
If they choose to. Counselor, can I just take Counselor Schwartz first and then Fuller? Go ahead.
The only other troubling part about this is that Modern Bar has been operating, and somebody would have to tell me, for
3 years.
For 3 years, in a way that is not consistent with the board order that is currently in effect on the property. So there's something also troubling about saying, so the landlord chose to use up these 6 months and then decided not to do it. So now we turn to them and say, well, come on in for yet another special permit, and then there'll be another time lag where, again, you have a business in there that isn't... I'm with you in theory, but there's something a little...
I look at it a little differently. I'd say inspectional services in its permissive nature allowed an impermissible use to go on for 2+ years. This was in violation of the special permit from day one. They were notified of that by inspectional services. And inspectional services said, look, we're not in the business of throwing people out. Come get a special permit. That's what they did. They've had a couple of years now to get it
worked out. So that's a bit of a different perspective on that. Councilor Schwartz, and then Commissioner Loja.
So, you know, I think that first the question should be kind of disposed of about this amendment idea. We're not, I don't think, able to do that without any kind of notice to the community and the whole process. And I think that that process, again, exists for a reason. We shouldn't even, that's not on the table. Not tonight. And if it were something that the petitioner wants to pursue, then there is a process and it's going to take a little while. Obviously, these board orders can be amended. We're looking at two, one original and then one, the amendment of it. So, in from 2012. So, clearly, they did it right then. So getting to the question of consistency, you know, actually, after looking at the actual language here, I think one could find a couple things that are consistent if the petitioner followed the board order. So they're not consistent with the board order right now, clearly, because the hours in and of itself just shows that. They also have not been consistent with the three customers. So I think that it's certainly within our jurisdiction and our purview tonight if we were to find that three customers plus three staff equals six parking demand spaces. Since the rationale for both, you know, the original and then the amended board order was in the finding that we're looking at a similar low parking demand turnover service business, and in the last line, would generate approximately the same traffic and parking demand as earlier uses of the site. It's all about the traffic and parking demand. So in interpreting whether the 3 plus 3 equals 6, I think that would guide me, and that does raise the question that's been mentioned as whether three all-day staff members who don't move their cars, well, that's not a parking problem, but it's a traffic problem potentially. The difference between five people coming every hour and three people coming every hour. I don't know if it's a huge difference, but it's a slight difference. Then again, if you had three staff members, I guess conceivably they could be part-time staff members, and they might not park there the whole day. So you might actually have almost the same amount of traffic. One could make that argument. So that's a pretty fine distinction, which may not be of significance. So in some ways, I think I could be convinced that three customers plus three staff equals five customers plus one staff. Certainly with parking, it could be the same if the customers can use the parking spot that right now we had in the most recent permit that is not being exercised had required to be just for staff in the back of the building. Those could be potentially used by customers. So parking-wise, it's not necessarily five more parking cars on Commonwealth. It could be just three, just like in this case. But the traffic issue is the one, because people come and go as customers, and they may not come and go as staff, although staff may come and go as well. So that's that issue. But I can't even consider us ruling that this is consistent with a board order that's not being followed. So I think that the clock has to stop at some point on allowing the total contravention to the hours that's in this board order that now the petitioner is saying they want to be consistent with. So, I mean, it's not that we have leverage on that one. I mean, they should be held to the hours of operation that are in this board order. And only if and only then, if they do that, would I even consider saying that 5 plus 1 equals 3 plus 3.
Let me ask the petitioner's counsel, how are they operating currently? In response to that question, Mr. Chairman, I just consulted with my client's mother, who's actively involved in the business.
I have been informed that there are no 6 o'clock classes. To the extent that that was a violation, that has been eliminated. With respect to the number of classes that exceed five people, there are a handful of there are no classes that operate under the maximum. Is that correct?
Right. The maximum's under the
maximum under the board order 9, 10. Let you know what was previously.
But that board order hasn't been exercised.
That's
so the
correct.
Question is, what are we operating under now?
I'm told that all but a handful of classes are compliant with fewer than six or fewer people. There may be. I can't give you that answer. I'm
and when did the hours of 6:15 cease?
When?
I don't want to put you on the thing. You've got to start.
I believe.
Good evening, ma'am.
I don't have the details in front of me, but I believe it was in the end of July when the landlord decided not to sign the order.
Okay. So that's a week ago.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good answer. All right. All right. Thank you. Colleagues, is there anyone else who wants to comment on this? Commissioner Logic, would you like to give us your thoughts, please?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I think you're really happy I sent this forward to you, actually.
It's really good to pay the not-so-big bucks for it. Go right ahead.
Exactly. You know, it's one of those unusual cases in that, you know, 3 plus 3 it does not equal 5 plus 1. And you can say, well, you know, a Volkswagen's a car and a Maserati's a car. That doesn't make them equal. And I think that was my problem with this particular request. I thought it was very clear in the board order that it was to be 3 employees and 3 customers at a given time. I would suggest Mr. Water can correct me, but I think if they wanted to do this, it falls under an amendment. And I think they would have to petition for an amendment. Therefore, you could then add conditions, which you can't do under consistency ruling. So, I mean, that would be the only way forward, and that has to be done by the landlord. It can't be done by the tenant. And remember that this runs with the land, and that's important to know. So those are the things I see, and the fact is the consistency ruling, therefore why I throw it to you, and this has been a moving target all along, they're going to lose all of those improvements that were conditions of the special permit. So I think that's a real danger for the board, that these conditions and improvements would be lost. And that was the whole intention to begin with. The property is operated differently than it was before. And remember, it is an island. It's a singular commercial property amongst all single-family houses. And that's why I couldn't make that ruling and why it went forward to the Land Use Committee.
Thank you, Commissioner. Carl, do you have anything else here? All right, I'm going to entertain a motion on this consistency ruling. We don't need a formal vote, but I do want to give a sense of the committee. Is it fair to say that the committee feels that this would not be consistent with the special permit and that if the petitioner wants something different here, they need to come and move for a new special permit? Can I get a nod of heads? I'm seeing that unanimously from my colleagues. Commissioner, I think it's fair to report that we do not view the request as consistent with the special permit, I think, for the reasons you stated. Okay? Does that provide you with the guidance you need? Good. Thank you. All right. Yes, Councilor Schwartz.
Just curious that now that the petitioner, not the business owner, but the landowner has decided not to exercise the special permit that was passed earlier this term. What is happening as far as enforcement of the board order that currently is before us?
I think that's for the commissioner to enforce, and I think he'll exercise his appropriate discretion as we customarily do, trying to work with people and not be punitive.
So on the hours, I would just ask that that be also part of the enforcement.
Okay. Anything else, colleagues? Thank you all very much. We're going to take up the next petition. 215-16 parens 2 close parens special permit petition to construct parking stalls and retaining wall at Dungarin. Senior Garin, this is at 344-346 Elliott Street, Ward 5. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Franklin Schwartzer. I'm an attorney with the law firm Schlesinger and Bookbinder with offices at 1200 Walnut Street in Newton. I'm here tonight representing Shauna Gehan and Robert Dunn as trustees of the D&G Realty Trust. Ms. Gehan is with me tonight, and also joining us tonight is our civil engineer, Vern Porter. By way of background, Ms. Gehan and Mr. Dunn are the trustees of the D&G Realty Trust, which owns the land at 342 Elliott Street and 344-346 Elliott Street in Indian Upper Falls, the site of Dungarin's Pub. That site consists of two lots totaling 6,725 square feet of land, and it's highlighted here in blue. There are currently 10 parking stalls in place on that site. Robert Kopelman owns the abutting property at 1076 Chestnut Street around the corner, and that is highlighted here in red. 342 Elliott Street, 344-346 Elliott Street, and 1076 Chestnut Street are all in a business use one zoning district. In June 2014, Garin, Mr. Dunn, and Mr. Copeland purchased the real property at 342A Elliott Street, which is shown here in yellow. Now, title is held in the names of Mr. Garin and Mr. Copeland as trustees of the 342A Elliott Street Realty Trust for that lot, and that consists of 6,056 square feet. The parties have been eager to purchase that lot for some time because it had fallen into disrepair. In October this past year, 342A Elliott Street was rezoned from an MR1 zoning district to a business use 1 zoning district, and the parties are now preparing to subdivide that property. That subdivision will result in an additional 2,951 square feet of land for use by the restaurant, and it's highlighted here in green. The restaurant intends to use their land for 6 additional parking stalls. Now, parking is at a premium in the neighborhood, as I think many of you know. The 6 additional stalls would help alleviate that demand. This is particularly the case in the winter when, after snowstorms, Elliott Street effectively becomes a one-way street. The ability to get extra cars on site should contribute to the overall public safety. Mr. Copeland would also receive an additional 3,107 square feet of land for his property. That is not the subject of the special permit here tonight, though. Before the parties would conclude the subdivision, the petitioner wanted to ensure that its portion of the locus could be used as additional parking for the restaurant.
Can I ask a procedural question from legal counsel? So they can proceed with a request for a special permit before they do the subdivision or changes of land?
Counsel, can you just use your mic? Can you use the mic so that others can hear your response? Thank you.
I apologize. Mr. Chairman, I believe the way the council order is constructed is that the A&R plan would have to be done and recorded. That would be a condition of the issuance of a building permit.
Okay.
So it can be done that way.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to make sure we're...
No, that's fine. That's our understanding as well, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
So, as stated previously, my client is seeking to add 6 additional parking stalls for restaurant parking. This requires a waiver of the parking setback requirement of Section 5.1.8.8.A to allow parking in a side setback. Additionally, once the property is subdivided, the existing retaining wall will be within a setback. Consequently, the petitioner is seeking a special permit for a retaining wall of over 4 feet in a setback pursuant to Section 5.4.2.8. The proposed aisle width for the parking area, the new parking area, narrows to 18.5 feet in one location. Previous board orders for the property had legitimized an aisle width of 10 feet at the front of the property, so we actually see the increased aisle width as an improvement. Accordingly, the petitioner is requesting a waiver for the aisle width requirement of Section 5.1.8.3.1.
Because of the proximity of residential properties, my client has requested a waiver of the parking lot security lighting requirements of Section 5.1.10, and has also requested a waiver of certain parking lot screening requirements pursuant to Section 5.1.9.8. And finally, seeking an amendment to Board Order 501-942 for a new site plan. Now, the Planning Department report was generally supportive of the project, but did raise a few issues, which I'd like to address here briefly. First, to clarify, we agreed that the council order would be conditional on the property 342A Elliott Street being subdivided and the 2,951 square foot portion being combined with the property at 342, 344, 346 Elliott Street with the NR plan. Second, the petitioner does intend to erect a fence around the perimeter of its portion of the proposed parking area. Indeed, a fence has already been erected along the eastern boundary of the lot, adjacent to the backyards of the residential properties there. In terms of proposed landscaping, my client has proposed a landscape area along the eastern boundary of the property and a portion of the southern boundary as well, all as shown on the site plan. These landscape areas have been designed to provide for a bumper overhang area. Consequently, my client was initially resistant to putting additional evergreen trees into the landscape area between the existing fence and the parking stalls on the eastern boundary, as the Planning Department report suggested. However, this evening we had an opportunity to speak to the neighbors at 911 Hale Street, and they've expressed a desire to see some additional landscaping in this area. I don't know if we can do evergreens, but we can certainly work on them to provide some sort of arborvitae that goes a little bit above the existing 6-foot fence line. Also, we're open to submitting a final landscape for approval by the Planning Department that would reflect that. My client and Mr. Kopelman also had a chance to sit down with Mr. Levine, who's the abutting property owner at 1921 Hale Street, to address his concerns about the dumpster location and additional landscape screening on his property line, which will actually be Mr. Kopelman's property once the subdivision is completed. My understanding is that that's been worked out largely between the neighbors, and they're supportive of the petition now. I also believe there are several other people here this evening who will speak in support of the petition. That concludes the presentation. We're happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you. Why don't we hear from the Planning Department? I'm going to hear from members of the public, and then we're going to get questions and comments from my colleagues. Mr. Cleaver, is this yours again?
Yes. Thank you, Chairman. So, as is just witnessed by the attorney for the abutter, this is the request of relief. Much of the idea continued to just to modify the existing special permit while parking inside setback, where the different requirements of screening, lighting, requirements, and to allow an existing retaining wall to be within a setback. Then the board of support consultants should consider these criteria. When it comes to the parking requirements, adjacent to a multiple living square distance is an appropriate location for these parking buildings. Whether these buildings will not exist in such a neighborhood, whether they will or they not create to see a nuisance of serious hazards to vehicles or pedestrians, and what actions to precise or perceived on this street for the purpose of the highest amendment of vehicles. Also, in order to build these parking requirements, the council has considered whether or not various compliance is impractical due to the nature of the use, location, size, width, depth, shape, or grade of the lot, whether such assessments would be in the public interest, or the reasons of safety, or the protection of some environmental species. When it comes to the retaining wall, the criteria to consider in phase one that this site is being undertaken is an appropriate location for the retaining wall, and whether that wall does not look based on respect to the neighborhood. And some of the other actions to the street would be appropriate here. This is in background of the sample of the roof. The site is situated to the A areas for the parking address. The reason B is the parking shown in yellow, the parking in the new lot, would actually be the northern half, which is to contain a structure, which is now no longer there. And then it's generally mixed in the area of housing buildings 1 and 2, and with business 1 located along 8th Street, where the site is located, and some other uses further to the west, which include manufacturing and some other business. Then this is our buildings, which pretty much reflects what the zoning is, especially in the immediate area around the site. It's been exposed again over the last time, again, from how it's showing the street maps, so we got down some about the using of the team that was subdivided to form two new maps. The one towards the bottom is the zoning site. And here's the site plan showing the parking to know how to see at this scale. That's the existing parking. This is the south of the traditional media collection. This is the new proposed parking from the 6 spaces to the left hand in effect the east side. And this is where the landscape is developed. And you can see the location of the turning wheel that turns from the upside down L. I wish I had the pointer working. Here we go. In this location. Where the existing wheel is. I've got some photos to be helpful. This is the view from L Street, showing the existing parking. The site of this parking is just behind the pickup truck. This gets a little closer, and it is not the parking the whole area between the truck and the building to the rear is about half of that lot. And just to turn from left to right, this is a lot of the design behind the fence. And this also shows the zoning map, and this shows you the existing retaining wall. This is the view of that from the outside. This is the view from outside the property.
Is that retaining wall scheduled to be repaired in any manner?
It's scheduled to be removed and not used. We noted in our memory that the engineering department do a require that this will be tested for structural integrity.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Can you just explain those things to the system that you really have any discussion? I think it's supposed to be with the board order, so we may want to wait. Even if you remember, that this board order would be superseding two previous board orders.
All right. Anything else for the moment?
No.
Good. Thank you. All right. Are there members of the public who wish to be heard on this petition? Come on up, please, ma'am. We'll start with the front. We'll move backwards. Good evening.
Hi. My name is Bonnie Frazier, and I live at 331 Elliott Street. Lived there my entire life, so I've seen a lot of what's been there before, including the bat-infested barn, which used to be on that property. You're right, in the wintertime, when the snow's out there, it does get a little hairy on Elliott Street, because particularly in front of my house, that's where it narrows as it comes down the street and the curve. And this will alleviate some of the parking. None of Shauna's employees park in their lot, none of them park on the street, so it is strictly for the customer's benefit. Now with the bridge being closed, anything we can do to help the Upper Falls and the restaurant and their customers is important. I can't speak highly enough about Shauna. As a neighbor, she has literally bailed me out, and she has had her guys plow me out. When my elderly parents have to get out the doctor's appointment. So I would stand up for anything that she does, and if I have an issue with Shauna, I know I can go to her and present it, and she will do what she can to mitigate the issues. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, next, please. Come on up, sir.
My name is Greg Raven. I live at 21 Hale Street, my property abuts the Dungatherings restaurant, and I wanted to speak in support of the petition. I spoke to Shauna about her plans for the parking and the dumpster, and I approve of that. And I also wanted for the city to allow Shauna and Robert Kopelman to clean up their yard. Right now it's very messy, as you can see in the pictures, and I'd like for it to be cleaner so it is a nicer view from my house onto their land. And also I spoke to Shauna about the planting of trees on Robert's land and my land and Brian Garvey's land at 19 Hale Street, and I was wondering if that could somehow also be added to the city council order.
Thank you very much, sir. Anybody else who wishes to be heard? Here's a citizen, Councilor Yates. Good evening, Councilor Yates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Brian Yates. I live at 1094 Chestnut Street. I have known this property when it was an enormous blight on the neighborhood. Under previous owners, this property was a place where people hung out to over-imbibe and vandalize cars that went by, throw stuff at police, disassemble public property, all for their amusement. For years, as a citizen, I was trying to get the licensing board to do something about them, to no avail. Thank God the power of the market prevailed, that Bob and Shauna were able to see the potential here and to turn it around completely into a great asset to the community that not only their operations are beneficial, they do extra stuff like they use the site for the Newton Nomadic Theater, and they have been very generous philanthropists to neighborhood charities, but they run a very good place. And as I look at that picture up there, I'm reminded of that barn that Ms. Frazier referred to, which was there for a long time, was a great detriment. It was not owned by any of the current owners until it finally collapsed and they managed to secure it. So I would strongly support this as a continuation of the upgrading of the neighborhood that this special permit be granted, so that when the bridge is once again operative, that the people from the west as well as the people of Newton can know that this is a great place to go for food and for fun, and I strongly support it as someone who's lived there for more than 50 years in this vicinity.
Thank you, Citizen Yates.
Thank you.
Make it clear. Anybody else who wishes to be heard in this position, come on up, please, ma'am. Good evening.
Hello, good evening. My name is Christina Phyllis, and I'm the owner at 911 Hale Street, which is right behind the proposed parking lot. And
what number street is it? What number?
9-11.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Yep. I think some of the concerns were brought up today though the proposed landscaping is something that I'm still unclear about is what is going to be placed there to ensure their security from cars parking there. There's enough space, there's barriers, and preventing from light and noise, and also the dumpster are my two main things, those two. The dumpster right now is currently been at a right adjacent to my fence, to the fence that was put up and was placed there. So I saw before this hearing a proposal where it's moved away and enclosed, which we would be okay with. As long as that is confirmed that that is the plan and that it's concrete. And we also have a letter from our neighbor that couldn't be here today, Kai Yu Zhang, who is the owner of 15 Hale Street, that couldn't make it today, and she's against the proposed cells.
If you have that letter, ma'am, I'm going to ask our committee clerk to take the letter as part of the record. All set? Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Anybody else who wishes to be heard on this petition? Come on up, please, sir. One at a time.
Hello, I'm also the engineer, but I'm also a neighbor. I live at 324 Elliott Street. I also own the property at 2 Hale
Street. Your name again, please?
Vern Porter. I operate my business at 354 Elliott Street, which is on the other side of the restaurant. And all I just want to say is John is a very good neighbor, and the bar has been cleaned up from its former use. And it's a really nice neighborhood. I've recently moved back to Newton. I've been out of Newton for 30 years. So I moved back to the neighborhood, and mostly because of how it's improved, and Shauna has been the leader in doing a lot of those improvements. So I look forward to this.
Thank you. Nice to see you in a different capacity. Come on up, please, sir.
My name is Christopher Osborne. My family owns a home at 984 Chestnut Street, where we've been for 50 years. I used to own the depot in Newton Upper Falls. So I've been a business owner in the neighborhood for 35 years, and I'm just here to also support what others are saying, is that the community involvement that Shauna and Bob have shown to the community, to us here in the Upper Falls, which is the best part of Newton, by the way, has just been outstanding. Her generosity and their concern for the neighbors, this could only enhance the area, and also the parking would just extra spaces would help to alleviate any problems that might be there at the time. So we're here to just add more support to allowing the special permit to go through.
Thank you very much, sir. Anybody else who wishes to be heard on this petition? Come on up, please, sir.
I'm Brian Garvey. I live at 19 Hale Street, which is basically the gray house in the picture there, with my wife and 11-month-old daughter. I'm here first to thank the council for the opportunity to speak and also to support the petition. We've had an opportunity to work with Ms. Garen and Mr. Kopelman, and they have been very professional, and we have come up with a plan to mitigate the noise and the traffic to the impact to the neighborhood. So we just wanted to lend our support.
Great. Thank you very much. Any other member of the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, I'm going to entertain a motion to close the public hearing at this time. Councillor Crosley, it's your ward. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 6 in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Before I take up a motion on the project, there are questions or comments from my colleagues? Councillor Crosley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I won't repeat what a lot of people said, but I will refer to the many positive comments around having this business in Upper Falls. And I, particularly that Upper Falls is the best part of Newton. I like that one.
there are councilors from elsewhere in the city who may differ with you, but
you
besides
know, you
that, go ahead.
You have to be proud of where you come from.
You
right?
do.
So just like you have to be proud of your own family and so on, but we love everybody else too. So a couple of things I want to address. Well, one is there's no question that there's been a lot of care and time put into this plan, and that spending all these resources to add 6 spaces to alleviate the parking situation in the area is commendable.
I also want to comment on a couple of folks' concerns. One about the location of the dumpster. You know, the plan that we have tonight is the plan that we are voting on. So everything that is on this plan, unless we should choose to condition it or amend it in some way, is in fact what must be built. So the dumpster is shown in an enclosure behind the restaurant on the opposite, on the restaurant side of the property opposite the parking. The parking does improve safety as well. I go to Dungarvan's rather frequently, and it is, and I have a Mini Cooper. And it is challenging to get into some of those spaces, especially when there's a couple of SUVs parked either side. So having the extra aisle width and the ability to turn around in the back of the property, I think, also improves safety, and I'm pleased for that. As some folks, and I also want to make clear for the abutters who had concerns about making landscaping part of the board order, we can only do that on the property that is seeking the special permit, which is the Dungarvan's property, once they include the rear parking area in their lot. So I think I understand there's been some private agreements among Mr. Koppelman and some neighbors to plant elsewhere on the property. Those are private agreements, and we don't have any jurisdiction there. I just want to be clear about that. I'm really glad to hear that everyone has gotten together and made those agreements. I guess that's it. I will wait to hear from any questions from my colleagues, but at the appropriate time, I will move enthusiastically for the approval of this project.
Any comments from anybody else? I'm just going to add an observation that initially we'd heard some concerns from neighbors, and I, for one, always find it both admirable and, frankly, good practice to reach out to the neighbors, talk to them, try to address specific concerns in a constructive manner, in a way that alleviates individual hardship to the extent it can. I have, frankly, think that makes for better board orders, better relations, better policy, and if the special permit process can help facilitate those discussions, and I think it does, I actually think that's a very good thing. So just kudos to you and your clients for doing that. I encourage that often. Other than that, is there anything else from anybody? All right. Councilor Crosley, do you want to provide us with a motion?
I enthusiastically move approval of this project.
All right. This one is a fairly complex board order, folks, because we are combining. Are we combining Mr. Gleba with a bunch of previous orders?
We are taking the two previous orders, each one covered one or two of the existing two lots of this property, the parking lot and the restaurant lot. We are bringing forward the pavement parts of those and combining them into a new special pavement, which covers all three lots. So it includes conditions for the new and brings forth the others from the previous two.
So what we're going to, we're clear, what we're going to be approving is a new global special permit that essentially will be replacing what was in existence before, but obviously incorporating a significant number of those prior elements.
Yes.
All right. And have you had an opportunity to run what you're putting in here by inspectional services?
We have not done that. We do have discussions about the need to combine all three into one.
You know, this is a prelude to our discussion later this evening, but I would suggest after we act in committee, since we have several weeks between now and the full council meeting, it would be helpful if there is an opportunity for inspectional services to at least comment on it. If there's language issues, we can flesh them out beforehand. Okay, let's try to walk through the proposed permit if we could.
It's Okay, so it's historically our proposed findings.
Okay, so why don't we do this? I think it's become our custom. We'll just read each one to ourselves and then try to see if we have any questions on each one, and we'll go through that, okay? Anybody have any concerns or questions with the first finding? Okay. Let's move on to the second one, if we could, please. And number one is very similar, obviously. Number two is obviously very similar to number one. Any questions here? All right. If we could move on, Mr. Gleaver, to three. Anything with three? It's clear this is a single curb cut. It remains the same. All right. Questions on four? Okay, I think we're good with these findings. So the retaining wall on the finding five, I know we'll probably get to that in the conditions, but is there something in the conditions that addresses how they have to get certain...
Yes.
Okay, we'll, why don't we deal with it then? Anything on these findings, five, six, seven, and eight, colleagues? Everyone good? All right, we can move on. Okay. So are there any unusual conditions here?
So these are just the standard ones.
Okay.
We also have several site-specific conditions.
Right.
The first one we referred to before has a superfluous consolidate in the states to keep previous social permits. Number two is that the previous social permits granted a waiver for six required stations, and so instead of going six more stations, so the need for that waiver goes away.
So they now have sufficient parking on site with 69 seats, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So that covers us for two and three. And four is intended just to say that they have to record the subdivision before the special permit can come.
That's right.
And before the building permit can be issued.
And this is the briefing overnight on Friday. So had a little different language to say that the effective date of the special permit would be when that happens. But we undid that, and we found it simply a condition.
In other words, they can't get a building permit without recording the subdivision.
Exactly.
That's the type of thing I think would be helpful if you just checked with inspectional services when you do your review, just to make sure that that works for them.
Sure.
Okay. Let's go on, please.
This should be number five. But, you know, this has to do with the fact that the existing retaining wall will need to be inspected and approved by the engineering division, as the engineering division said in this memo. So next one to do with the need for the petition is to provide a final landscape plan for the site.
Can I just go back to the first one? It says part of the issue is the petitioner provides a structural evaluation of stability. Should we say something and no building permit shall be granted without the approval of the engineering division? Something a little stronger or clearer there? What do folks think about that? I'm sorry? You just set it down for approval?
Yes.
Okay. I just think, again, we want to be very clear what the intent is. Okay.
The landscape plan, that's consistent with prior language that we've used in other orders?
Yes, it is, because some of the specific language things that the plan needs to show, including the location of certain functions, as well as the location, the number, location, and type of proposed plantings. We suggest instead of evergreens in the eastern boundary of the parking area, as well as the proposed landscape area in the back corner, to be something higher than the 6%. That is putting to give the residential abutters some additional screening.
Can I make a suggestion in language here? On two, it says, I think there should be a period after the word development in the first sentence, and then it should say, seems to me, the plan shall show A, the location of safety fencing. And where you safety fencing, you mean safety fencing to prevent vehicles from going off the parking lot into adjacent properties?
Yes.
Okay. Is safety fencing language simple enough and straightforward enough for someone looking at the board order, or do we need to be more specific? Councilor Schwartz?
I don't know, but based on what I read in a memo that we're going to be discussing in a couple minutes, I think it should be more specific for enforcement.
Yep. I mean, whatever fencing we're going to be requiring here, let's be very clear so that there's no ambiguity for either the petitioner or inspectional services. And just so we're clear, counsel, just so we're clear, we're not looking to do anything that has not been represented already, but we want to provide some clarity in the order so there's less ambiguity, if we could. Okay. Do we... E strikes me as extremely specific,
yeah.
And I don't, and I understand the desire to have specificity here, but I don't know, what do folks think about that?
Does this come from a previous board order?
I don't know.
I thought this section was more from previous board orders.
Is this from a previous board order?
No. This, no.
Okay.
Does not. Okay. So I think the intent is to do something above the fence line.
Right.
So should we just state that whatever screening there is should provide screening above the 6-foot fence?
Yeah, I think the plan shall show the number, location, and type of proposed plantings. Which plantings shall include evergreen or similar trees designed to have year-round screening, something like that, Councilor Schwartz? Yeah. That makes sense, Mr. Gleba?
I'm sorry. Councilor Schwartz, right again.
We're just trying to think that the intent is to have screening, year-round screening above the fence. So, should we just say that and not specify evergreen?
Yeah, I mean, there's no need to specify evergreens because they're year-round. We could suggest something else, or I just kind of arrive to something else. For example, the existing lot does have some plantings, trees. They can match something like those trees, where, you know, trees with a trunk and leaf system. So for the purpose of the landscape plan, we could just leave that to later determinations, and it doesn't need to be evergreen.
Well, I think, if it's Councilor Lang,
can I? What's wrong with the language we have? I mean, is there something really wrong with the language that we have? I mean, we understand the intent. We understand that it needs to be above the fence line. So, I mean, it's like we're kind of like just.
I don't want to overwordsmith this.
I agree with you 1,000%. That's what I'm trying to say. That I think.
I think we're trying to provide sufficient flexibility in the draft order, but at the same time convey the intent of the committee.
Well, doesn't the intent go in the next couple sentences when we're talking about expecting to reach a height at the maturity? So include several trees, period. I was just
responding to the petitioner's comment or petitioner's attorney's comment that Evergreen was too specific and that they...
I'm not trying to be critical of you at all, Counselor.
I'm Evergreen.
Attorney Schwartz, do you have a comment?
Mr. Chairman, I think our intention here is we all agree that we want to have some sort of plantings and landscaping there that would go above the fence line. Whether that would be evergreen or arborvitae or whatever it would become, it would be nice to have some degree of flexibility there depending on what the actual...
I'm reluctant to tell you which tree type of planting to put in as long as it's year-round.
Mr. Chairman, evergreen is not a specific type of tree. There are hundreds and thousands of species of evergreen trees. In fact, arborvitae are evergreen. Yes.
Then I stand corrected and educated. How's that? If that's the meaning of the word evergreen and we're clear...
Green all year round, that's all.
Fine.
I'll take judicial notice of that and we're fine.
All right. Is that fair?
I defer to arborists.
I don't think we need the word several in there. I find that almost meaningless and sufficient evergreen trees along there to provide a landscape. Okay. All right, can we go on to the next condition now that we've worked trees?
Okay. So that's the end of those. I do need to go back to the point on some issues having to do with the previous board orders. Now, maybe I'm going to discuss the first thing that this permit supersedes those. But we went back to the previous special permit and brought the language forward. I think there are two provisions that the board, that the council meeting recently issued us. The first one required the proposal to obtain parking spaces or at least make every effort to obtain off-site parking spaces. And we don't see that as necessary at this point.
They don't need that because they have enough parking on site.
Yep,
they don't need a parking waiver. Okay. Any concern about getting rid of that condition? Fine. Next.
Well, the second one is an older board order from 1994. So there's been potential that have a large parking plan. There is a concern with the current space parking plan that is approved at that point. Conditions under that board order. And the designers in the board order including valet parking spaces.
We don't need that one, right?
Yep.
Okay. Everyone okay with taking that out? Okay, fine. Anything else? Mr. Cleaver?
That's all.
Okay. Further questions or comments from the committee? Public hearing's closed, sir.
Can I just...
Nope. Question for you on the retaining wall. Is that going to be repaired?
To be perfectly honest, it's going to depend on what the structural engineer says. If it needs to be repaired, it'll have to be repaired. If they say it's great, we'll keep it as is.
Okay, fine. Okay, other questions or comments? All right, we have a motion by Councillor Crosley. All in favor of approval? 6 in favor, 9 opposed. It's approved. Best of luck. We will take this up at the September board meeting. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We are not going to adjourn, but we are going to take a break for a minute. We're going to go next door here to take up the last item, which is our discussion item with inspectional services in the planning department. Thank you all very much. That is a public meeting, and you're all welcome and encouraged to attend.